On the business line by Imran Anwar. He is the president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York. He also specializes in Asian business and economic analysis, and he's with us now, as I mentioned, on the business line. Imran, good morning. Welcome back to Money Radio.
Good morning to you.
Good to talk to you again. Been a while, and a lot of things have happened, but let's concentrate on Indonesia today, because that seems to be the area of most concern in Asia at the moment. Let me ask you, first of all, as a person who travels that region widely, does a lot of business over there, what is your assessment of conditions in Indonesia?
George, it's very difficult to give an accurate assessment which will be accurate more than 15 minutes down the road. That's how rapidly things have been changing in the Indonesian market and in the entire society there.
Yeah, it sounds like Germany in the 20s.
It does, absolutely. Of course, the impact of this may not be as bad, but it does have serious repercussions that can affect.
Well, the difference, am I correct, is that the international community is attempting to line up and be of some help as opposed to saying they have it coming.
Exactly. And I think people are smart enough to realize that, as a matter of fact, even to the extent of being paranoid that anything that's happening in Indonesia, how does that affect not just the countries right around it, but what does that mean for China and Russia and India and Europe? And some may think the markets and analysts are being paranoid, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
What is your assessment of how the IMF is handling the situation in terms of the way it is setting up the prerequisites for its loans and so on in Indonesia?
The IMF's requests and requirements in situations of bailout, etc., have always been a touchy issue in especially that part of the world. Simply because even when the IMF makes valid and logical and necessary demands, it's very easily possible for the local populace and the leadership and the opposition to consider that meddling. So on the one hand, people want the money that the IMF and the bailout that the IMF would offer, but at the same time, they would much rather have their wayward ways, their pet projects that are going nowhere, etc., etc. So it's, I think the IMF is doing the right thing. How that will be perceived by the man on the street remains to be seen.
Yeah, and it appears that we have read a time or two that there are problems. Obviously, there will have been demonstrations. The general public in Indonesia, if according to the report, are unhappy not only with the administration there and blaming them for that, but also the IMF. Maybe there is a mood building around Asia and Indonesia and other places that U.S. corporations and speculators are greatly involved and responsible. So all of this anti-IMF and U.S. corporation and so on mood, does it make it even more difficult for already weakened regimes and unpopular regimes to carry forward the IMF policy?
That's a very valid assessment, George, but I would beg to go the other way on this one. And I would say, and I think I will find a lot of people in disagreement with me, but this is how I see it. I have seen things like this happen in countries like Pakistan, where the opposition generally uses opportunities like these to, hammer the people in power by saying, oh, they're giving in, and this is our sovereignty is at stake, etc., etc. And that actually leads to unrest. Some, let's say 10% of the unrest will be real, 20% because people are latching onto those 10%,
yeah.
And the remaining 60 or 70% comes from the opposition creating it. In a country like Indonesia, something which is a long-term problem, and that is the fact that Mr. Suharto is the only one there, and there is no line of succession in place, that's a long-term disadvantage, but the short-term advantage to that is there is no decent, strong opposition to exploit the situation. So in a way, the IMF's job will be slightly easier. Yes, there will be unrest. Yes, there will be unpopularity and pain, but it will not be exploited as it could be in any country with a stronger opposition. That's my take on it.
So just yes, as we have seen at times, there are of the many negatives, there is the positive of centralized controlled governments sometimes in times of crisis, that they can move very rapidly without concern or debate.
Absolutely. Benign dictatorship generally can get a lot more done, and I don't know if that will actually happen because they've had 32 years to do something, and it hasn't really happened.
What, as far as doing business in Asia now, and particularly for Western corporations, specifically U.S. Companies and business people. How negative is the mood in Asia toward the West and the U.S. specifically?
Actually, I wouldn't characterize that that as a problem, because if anything, the mood is people are looking for investments. I mean, not just bailouts, but from the perspective of the Asian businessman, his market and his world is really in turmoil right now.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to not just survive, but actually to come ahead and deal with an American business or to set up partnerships, etc., would be a godsend for them at this stage. And similarly for the American companies thinking of going in there, yes, it's a topsy-turvy market. Yes, we still haven't seen, you know, how bad it can get. But at the same time, considering that the rupiah is at 20% of its value 6 months ago, this might be a great time to take advantage of that.
Well, that's of course, the accusation on the one side that U.S. corporations kind of orchestrated this so they can do so, which is foolishness. But on the other side of it, the one truth is that it may be, in fact, as you're mentioning, an opportunity for U.S. business and for investment and so on. Does it appear that U.S. corporations are going to be taking advantage of those opportunities?
George, you and I go back a long time, and as somebody who came from Asia, one of my biggest complaints all along has been U.S. companies don't move fast enough in any market abroad, and that I think will still be another opportunity that maybe even Europeans will take advantage of before Americans will.
And maybe part of it, we are kind of traumatized, I think, in this country for whatever reasons, about anti-American moods that build, and so maybe that will hold them back, or is there just generally is it kind of systemic that the American companies don't move quickly enough?
I agree. I mean, it's a chicken and egg kind of problem, because the companies that do move aggressively, as we have seen in countries like South Africa, etc., and other places, is that the companies that move in aggressively align themselves so strongly with the killers and the dictators, and that yes, it becomes the American capitalists are causing my pain. And so guess what? The smaller or other, second-tier companies that want to come in find that negative impact upon their operations or their efforts to get in. However, in these situations where there's a chance for everybody to go in and make a positive difference, people hold back, and then you have a different kind of negativity coming in, is that Americans don't do enough to come into my country.
We need to hear more of that from folks such as yourself, Imran, and we appreciate you joining us today. Good to talk to you again. We'll talk again soon.
The pleasure is mine. Look forward to it.
Thank you, sir. Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.